The date? I'm just going to say it was in the 60s. The place is Santa Cruz. It was a time when parents had decided to be, well, let's just say unique with naming their children. And apparently Santa Cruz was a hotbed for this trend to name your children uncommon things. It was not uncommon for little Timmy to be playing frisbee in the park with Moon Unit. It was not uncommon to have Time Warp or Moonbeam or Spring Fever playing with Scarlet or just, yeah. It was just normal for this to happen. And at the beginning of the school year, it was always very interesting for the kindergarten teachers who would have all of these unusual names. And unfortunately for this one teacher, the school's printer had broken down and she had an incomplete list of children. And so she had asked all the parents if they would send their child with a name tag on the first day. And so as she began, she noticed that there was this little boy who came with a name tag as a necklace on a lanyard. And his name was Fruit Stand. It's odd, but she also had a sunbeam and a summer and an axle and a brick. So why not, right? So why Fruit Stand? Nobody really knows. But all morning, the teacher tried to get him involved. Fruit, would you like to play blocks? Fruit, would you like to color a picture? That wasn't working, so she figured, well, maybe his name is Fruit Stand. Maybe he'll respond to that. Fruit Stand, would you like to play here? Would you like to do this, Fruit Stand? He completely ignored her all morning. All morning he ignored her. He just had his own little, I'm going to go play with this boy, and I'm going to go play over here, and I'm going to do this. He just would not listen to her. At the end of the day, she asked all of the kids to take their name tags and put them on the hooks. And it was at that moment she noticed there was one word written on the backside of Fruit Stand's name tag. Just a single word. Anthony. Names are important, aren't they? Anybody here want to respond to Fruit Stand? Ah, yes. They're so important to us because they are so often do more than just identify individuals. They can reveal who a person is and what a person is like, what they are like. God goes by many different names in the Bible. Pastor Kevin Corbin, in his book, The Names of God, writes this. By some counts, there are more than 800 names, titles, and metaphors for God in the Bible. Each describes unique facets of his character or his work. And when we study those names and metaphors, we gain an intimate understanding of our Heavenly Father. On the table in the foyer at the back, if you will find bookmarks that we have printed. We've put out about 30 of them or so. If you want a bookmark which highlights each or most of the names that we're going to go through in this series, help yourself to that. If we run out, we'll make more for next week. But just put it in your Bible. I handed these out to our Wednesday Bible study group, and we've been using them for the last couple of months as we go through the Psalms, because there are so many wonderful names of God. It is my hope that these names will provide for us and provide us with at least two helpful truths. They help us to identify the one true God. See, the pagan nations, they worshipped false gods. And so the one reason God gave us his name is so that we can know who he is and how he is different. And secondly, his name describes his character. And when we study this aspect of his name and what these names mean, we understand, we will actually get to know what he is like and who his character is. And while names are important to us in our culture, they are not, there's so much more important within the biblical times. I love names. People who know me love, they know I love names and what names mean and stuff like that. And I have to admit that when I named my children, the meanings of those names certainly were not why I named my children what I named my children. I mean, my oldest son, Forest Dweller, his brother, Attached, and the youngest one, Peace. I don't think any of those really match them very well, but they are three men of the Bible that I really, really like. Silas, Levi, and Solomon. Three wonderful men of the Bible. We picked those names because of who they reminded us from the scripture, not what the names meant, particularly Forest Dweller. It had nothing to do with it whatsoever. But the Hebrew word Hashem is a term for name in the Old Testament. It means individual mark and communicated an individual's essence. In the New Testament, the word hohonami, it comes from the verb which means to know. So to know the name of God means to deeply know his personality. And during this series, it's my prayer that we will not just know who God is, but we will actually get to know him in a much deeper way. And how much more than we do right now. And so as we begin our study, let me state four foundational principles. The first is these names are given by God. They're not thought up by people. Okay? God is not some abstract thought or nameless power. He is personal. He is knowable. And one of the ways that his personality is known is through the giving of his names. The second principle is this. Each name of God reveals one of his qualities or characteristics. And so we're going to focus on these as we go through these names. Each week, we're going to find a different aspect, a character of God. And it's like studying a multifaceted diamond. When we're finished, we're going to appreciate his beauty like never before. The third principle is that these names were given to God to God's people, in order to help them through a moment of need. And it's my prayer that this series will not just be academic, but it will become deeply personal and heart-changing so that you will call out to him when you are in crisis or in need. These names are like miniature portraits filled with promises given by God as a gift to us, so that we can actually know him and use these names. And finally, use these names when you call out to God. This is so important. When we call out to God in prayer, when we sing, the song selection today, Holly, was fantastic. I don't know, I started counting the number of times we mentioned the name of God or as a topic, but I stopped count after about 15, because it was just the name, we just kept talking about, there's so many names, they were great. And I'm hoping that throughout this summer as we do this, that we're going to continue finding songs that highlight the names of God. And there's actually one that I've made a request of. We're going to mash two songs together, and hopefully this one will work out when the ladies figure out how to do it. But that one's coming up at some point. Yes, we got a thumbs up from the back. There we go. And so I want us to really use these names, not just to be an academic mental thought of, oh, well, yeah, that name means this, and this one name that means that. No, we want to use them in our daily lives, right? When it comes to the name of the Lord, they are simply wonderful. He has so many wonderful names. And when I think about God, I'm not sure that he is the God that I would have created if I was in charge of that. And I know this is an odd thing for a pastor to say, but I want you to just stop and think for a moment. What type of God would you have created? Because I'm not sure I would have created God the way he is. Many of us would have rather have a God that allows us to do whatever we want as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. And to have all of the blessings and the benefits without having a whole lot of the hard stuff. Am I right? And I would rather not learn the hard lessons the hard way. I'd just like to know those hard lessons and have the answers and just not have to go through all the hard stuff. Am I alone? Is there anybody else who wants to admit they'd like that? I would rather not have to worship in the wilderness, so to speak, where God continuously calls us and to find and to be found by him. I would rather God simply meet me and my expectations, to fix my problems, to heal my hurts, to make me happy. I want a God who is faithful to me in ways I understand and I expect, who expresses faithfulness in the ways that I choose, exactly when I want it. Sure, I'm willing to wait, but my wait needs to be like waiting for the meal I just ordered. It needs to come soon so that I know that it's there. I want my requests to be short in time so I can see the results immediately. But when you take a God like that, that's not actually a God, that's a genie, isn't it? But the God that we have, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, Yareh, Rapha, He is the God who is so much more than a genie. And infinite times better than anything I could have created. And I know that, and I am so happy for that. I am not disappointed that God is not my little genie in a bottle. And one of the most helpful correctives to our selfish desires and our egocentric expressions of prayer is to focus on who God actually is, not necessarily who we want Him to be. So I want to begin by listing six statements that will help us grow in recognition of His wonderful name. First is this: His name is good. I will praise You forever for what You have done. In Your name I will hope, for Your name is good, says Psalm 52. Never forget this. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's good even when the bad things happen. He's good when the good is going on. He's good when you're struggling and when things are at peace. God is good all the time. Secondly, His name is great. Do as You promised, so that Your name will be great forever. 2 Samuel 7. There is no greater name than the name of God. Number three, His name is majestic. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth, says Psalm 8. He declares this as, how majestic. This means that His name, which stands for all that He is excellent. It is famous. It is known amongst the earth. The earth itself knows the majesty of God. No one else is like Him. He is omnipotent. He is incomparable. He is, I almost feel like becoming a black preacher here for a moment. He is, I wish I could describe Him. He is majestic. His name is glorious. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory, says Psalm 115. The word glory encompasses all of His attributes. The word literally means heavy. It refers to the fact that God is weighty and awesome. And sometimes we try to make a name for ourselves as we crave credit for what we've done. But we need to remember that His name alone deserves the glory. His name alone deserves the glory. Number five is that His name is holy. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He told them to begin like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, or holy be Your name. His name must be set apart because He is holy, and that's what holy is, set apart. He is set apart from all that is sinful. He is set apart from all that is chaotic. He is holy. Honestly, I don't even know if I truly understand this word holy. What do I really know about holy? The song that says it's like I'm standing on the shore of his ocean. What do I really know about holy? I'm ankle deep, and there's a vast ocean that is endless before me. That is his holiness. And his name is near. God is high and holy, and yet amazingly, he is also close to us. He is both supreme and he is essential. He allows this truth to penetrate you. He is not distant. He is instead come close to each one of us so that we can get to know him. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of you, of your wonderful deeds, says Psalm 75. God is so deeply personal that he has come near to us. In fact, that's what one of his names is, Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's not just out there up in space somewhere. He is here with us. And once we recognize his name, we can't help but respond to him. And we must praise his name. The number one reaction to recognizing his name is to break out in praise. The main reason that we should focus on what he goes by is so that we can give him what he deserves. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever, says Daniel. And in Psalm 7, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. The Psalms are filled with words of praise to God. And so I want to encourage you. Let's take this time as we go through this series on the names of God. I encourage you to read the book of Psalms. My guess is if you do 2 Psalms a day, you'll be able to finish the entire book by the time we finish our series. There's 150 of them. I encourage you, read the entire book of Psalms. See how God is praised. See the many names as we pull them out and as we learn. And if you need a good bookmark, there's one at the back to help your way. We'll finish after Labor Day sometime. All right, here's another verse. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. This is what Job had to say. Job was undergoing so many different things in his life, and yet he says, I will praise the name of the Lord. Job knew that the name of the Lord, he could praise him, even though natural disasters hit him and it was bad. Next, we need to honor his name. God's name is so weighty that we must do all that we can to honor it. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord, Leviticus 19. We are to praise his name. We are not to profane it. If you listen to society today, you would think that we have many God-fearing people. Sadly, we have too many who are just flippantly using his name in profane ways. We should be trembling whenever we hear his name used in a way that does not honor him. We should make sure that we are not throwing his name around lightly ourselves. God desires for us to use his name as a call to him. Don't hesitate to cry out to him. As you read through the book of Genesis, it doesn't take us long for people to call out to the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, it says, "At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord." Has it been a while since you've called upon the name of the Lord in prayer? When we praise and honor and call on his name, it should lead us to the desire to share his name, to share it with others. Don't keep it to yourself. We heard last week from Siavash, his desire to share Jesus with everyone. He's got so many ministries going on. He's doing internet stuff. He's doing YouTube stuff. He's got two churches that he wants to share Jesus and the gospel with all the people that he encounters. He wants to share with everyone. We all need to do more and more. "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God," says Deuteronomy 32. But finally, the fifth response is to love his name. And there are so many things in life that we can love. But what we love can be things that are not godly. However, we are to love his name above all. To love the Lord, or the name of the Lord, and to worship him, says Isaiah 56. Can you honestly say that you love his name? Do you love his name more than anything else? If not, what needs to change in your life? So we must first recognize his name, then we must respond accordingly, and when you do, we can expect results. Our hope will grow. "I will praise you forever for what you have done. In your name, I will hope, for your name is good." Psalm 52. It's an amazing psalm. If you struggle with discouragement, determined to put your hope in his name, you won't be disappointed, because as you put your hope in him, your joy will increase. "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Psalm 5. Once we know his name, we can't help but be filled with joy. And conversely, if you aren't very joyful, it could be because you don't really know him. Get to know him better. Next, our worship will deepen. "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayers of this your servant, and to the prayers of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today," says Nehemiah. When we grow in God, we will find incredible delight in worshiping him. By the way we live, by the way we commit ourselves to corporate worship each and every Sunday. I know that no one here has ever come to church on a Sunday out of either habit or, dare I say, compulsion. Nobody here has ever done that. I know that. It's a fact. But if this does happen, it makes it very hard to really worship when you arrive. Because you're here because you honestly don't want to be here, but you're here because you know you should be here. And it makes it hard to worship. And if that happens, I would encourage you to stop. Take a moment and ask God to work on your heart right now. Ask Him to give you hope and joy, to let Him know that you desire a deeper worship of Him so that you can be fully satisfied in Him. John Piper stated it so well. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Let me say that again. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Do you feel unsatisfied today? It may be because you don't know God as well as you need to. And if you're trying to stuff yourself with things that can't satisfy, you will be constantly needy. Get to know His name, and your needs are going to be met. And there is one final result, which ironically should go without saying. And it's actually not the last, but it arguably is the best. We will be saved. Ultimately, to call on the name of the Lord brings about salvation. Romans 10, verse 13, is a quote from the prophet Joel, and he says this, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. Have you ever called on His name for salvation? In order to be saved, you must know God and you must know Jesus Christ. If you're ready this morning and if you've never done this and you want to begin that journey and begin that relationship of knowing Him, I encourage you to call out to Him right now, to tell Him that you are a sinner and that you can't save yourself, to repent from the ways that you have been living, and to ask Him to personally apply the work of Jesus on the cross to your account, where His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sin. Receive that free gift of eternal life and surrender to His name each and every day. And then confess with your lips that you now know Him. Proclaim His wonderful name to others and determine to know all that you can about Him. One of my all-time favorite hymns, we're not there yet, folks. One of my all-time favorite hymns is "I Need Thee Every Hour." And I think perhaps it's one of my all-time favorite hymns is because that is such a huge truth in my life. I need Jesus. I need God in my life. Not just every day. I need Him every hour. We could change it to "I need Thee every minute or second." Because I do. Now, if you are already a believer, do you value and prize the salvation that you have? Or has it become in your life? It's part of who you are, but you're just, I'm a believer. Do you value your salvation? How much is your life different because of Jesus? Recognize Jesus as your Savior and respond to Him anew today. Let me ask you just a few questions as we close. Are you geared up to really know God? Or are you content just to know a few little facts about Him? If you are serious about growing, ask yourself these questions. What is one thing that you can do to increase your enjoyment of God? What is the most humanly impossible thing that you will ask God to do? What is the single most important thing that you could do to improve the quality of your family life? In what spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress? And what are you willing to do about it? What's the most important way that you will, by God's grace, try to make in someone else's life? We have been praying for salvation for people. It's a great step. But are you talking to those people you put on that list? What's one thing that you could do to improve your prayer life? What's one thing that you could do to enrich your spiritual legacy that you want to leave in your children and your grandchildren? What single blessing from God do you want to seek most earnestly? As I look at all of these questions and I think about them, it strikes me that I can make progress in many areas if I go after knowing God like I never have before. Are you with me? Will you commit to be here each week, to roll up your sleeves, so to speak, as we study the scriptures together? If you have to miss a Sunday, will you download the message off of the website and don't miss it? Let's not take this opportunity lightly to get to know the character of God better. Now, I don't often pray prayers that other people have written, but today I want to close with a prayer by A.W. Tozer. It is a phenomenal prayer. So will you pray with me together right now? O Majesty unspeakable, my soul desires to behold Thee. I cry to Thee from the dust. Yet when I inquire after Thy name, it is secret. Thou art hidden in the light which no man can approach unto. What thou art cannot be thought of, uttered for. Thy glory is beyond comprehension. Still, prophets and psalms, apostles and saints have encouraged me to believe that I may in some measure know Thee. Therefore, I pray, whatever of Thyself Thou hast been pleased to disclose, help me to search out as a treasure more precious than fine gold. For with Thee shall I live, when the stars of the twilight are no more, and the heavens have vanished away, and only thou remainest. May this be our prayer, O God. Amen. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. If you are able to, will you stand and sing this closing hymn together with us?